precautionary measure is to agree to cut greenhouse gas emissions and to help each other to do so.
There's a good reason why the United Nations climate negotiations are taking place here in Bonn, Germany's old capital. Germany, you see, wants to be seen as the world leader in efforts to curb global warming. So when the Germans decided to move their capital back to Berlin after unification, they offered part of their old government complex to the UN Climate Change Convention. The gesture is both symbolic and practical, and a quintessential German response to new global realities. Living on Earth's Chris Ballmann reports on what's at stake for Germany as crusader against climate change. His story begins in the new German capital, Berlin.
At a rally in the shadows of the Reichstag, just steps away from where the Berlin Wall once divided East and West, two men argue over the state of German democracy since reunification. This is the new Germany, and once-shunned topics like communist evils and Nazi horrors are now openly discussed. Germans are putting the past behind, and many here say it's time to play a more assertive role on the world stage. And Petra Holtrup of the German Council on Foreign Relations says climate change is the perfect vehicle.
This, I think, comes from that Germany has found a topic where it could play a leading role without being accused of trying to dominate everybody else.
German concern for the environment isn't a new political maneuver. Germans got a wake-up call in the late 1970s when acid rain began destroying their beloved Black Forest. Later, Chernobyl sparked a fear that's led to a government pledge to dismantle the nation's nuclear industry. Anja Cohen of the German League for Nature and the Environment says recent soul-searching over past sins has sparked a new environmental awareness.
We cannot go into this trip anymore about saving the world the German way because, I mean, we did pretty ugly things with that. No? But the general thing is I would phrase it more positively. I would have a feeling, yeah, also there were some lessons learned. And one lesson is that you should not take up more space than is due to you. And this is what you do in climate policy. If the industrialized country emits so many climate emissions, this is using up more space. And then this is a form of imperialism and a form of corruption, which is not good.
If Germany is setting the world agenda on climate change, it's doing so by setting an example at home, with a plan to cut carbon dioxide emissions 25% by 2005.
That's our goals.
And that's Franz Josef Schaffenhauser. He's the man overseeing Germany's CO2 reductions. And he says that from the factory to the farm, in the home, office, and automobile, emissions must be cut.
That's not only for environmental reasons, but also for restructuring our economy, restructuring our society, creating new jobs, creating new technology, and being prepared for the future.
Germany reduced carbon dioxide emissions 15% by shutting down East Germany's old dirty industries and replacing them with modern facilities. Today, the emphasis is on cutting energy demand in homes and buildings. Restoring Berlin as Germany's capital has created what is likely the world's largest construction site. Giant cranes fill its skyline, and the din of the hammer is everywhere. With government loans and building codes that mandate energy savings, the architects of East Germany's remaking are going green. There are simple measures, like sensors in rooms that keep lights off until you enter, and subway escalators that don't move until you step on them. Other plans are far-reaching.
You can see the skyline of Berlin and the supplying area of this power plant. All of these buildings are connected with this power plant by pipes, underground pipes, and especially the Potsdamer Platz by combined pipes.
From a platform outside the control room, Andreas Naumann can see the 60,000 homes and 500 businesses that get their heat and electricity from the Baywag cogeneration power plant. When this was East Berlin, the plant burned oil. Now, natural gas and a high-tech feed loop system produce energy far more efficiently. And Naumann says that means less pollutants going up the smokestack.
The CO2 emissions are reduced by nearly 80%. in comparison with the old power plant. And the CO2 reduction by the work of the new power plant is 1 million tons per year for Berlin.
Cogeneration is Germany's main avenue to reach its next carbon dioxide emissions target. And last month, government and industry agreed to double the output of cogenerated power with incentives to build new plants and refit old ones. Other solutions to Germany's CO2 reductions are literally blowing in the wind. Giant spinning rotor blades could help Germany meet a lot of its future energy demands. I'm at the Clutchwitz Wind Park, about 50 miles south of Berlin, and I'm about to get a bird's eye view of Europe's largest wind park.
We are go up.
Some upstairs.
Okay.
Park manager Henry Leuvenhart prepares a tiny open lift to carry us up to the turbine. There's only room for two, so our translator, Paul Reed, must don a safety harness and climb a stepladder 255 feet to meet us at the top.
Okay. But bungee jumping is it's not allowed. Oh, God.
The turbine is about the size of a Winnebago. Inside, a computer controls the tilt and the speed of the rotors. A generator, a transformer, and a noisy cooler take up the rest of the space.
In order that this trip up here is worth it all, we're going to take a wonderful look at the scenery around us.
Henry opens a large flap, and below us, like giant pinwheels stuck in the earth, lie the park's 44 high-tech windmills. At full capacity, they make enough electricity to power 100,000 homes. Then, Henry tells us that this wind park sits on the remains of what was once Europe's largest open pit mine.
And you can notice from up here also the contrast between the destruction of the old energy production of the mines, where the landscape was completely altered and changed, to the new high-tech and alternative source of energy that the wind park provides, which is yet a cleaner and more environmentally friendly and safer production source.
By the end of the year, 10,000 wind turbines will dot the German landscape. They'll provide only about 2% of the nation's electricity, but renewable energy is key to the government's plan to wean the nation off nuclear power. The incentive for investors is a new government law. It guarantees renewable energy producers a price for the power they generate that's much higher than the energy made from fossil fuels. The government effort to jumpstart the industry does not sit well with some economists. Norbert Walker of the Deutsche Bank Group says the de facto subsidy ignores market realities.
I guess here we probably have gone a bit overboard. It is very obvious renewable energy is something that can only be established over decades rather than years. And you cannot possibly leave existing capacities unused and not pay a price for it. So if you shut down your nuclear energy plants, then of course this has a cost for the economy and this has to be borne by the taxpayer.
German policies to produce clean energy come with a huge price tag. Modernizing East Germany's industrial sector is estimated at about $75 billion a year. Other government programs range from $20 to $50 billion. Then there's the eco-tax. This gradual increase in petroleum prices is meant to curb demand and spur development of alternative fuels. It drew loud protests from truckers and farmers when it was introduced last year. And Petra Holtrup of the German Council on Foreign Relations says the public's pocketbook may be wearing thin.
I know that support for climate change policy in general is around 80 or 90%. But it depends how you ask. So if you connect this to, and what's about our green tax? Would you like to hire this up for about, I don't know, 3 DM per liter, which is in comparison to America, let me see, a gallon has about 3.8, I think, liter, which is $6 or $7 per gallon. Would you willing to pay this? I don't know. Well, the Germans are not willing to.
Talk of an increase in the eco tax is so sensitive, Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder says he won't discuss the matter until after the next election. Meanwhile, Germany's CO2 emissions from cars, trucks, and other transport are up 11% this year. Recent reports also show industrial output rising faster than expected. Take away the CO2-free energy produced by nuclear plants, and Germany may wind up in the embarrassing position of failing to meet its own targets.
And they will get into real trouble now, because now they try to play a leading role in implementing and putting into force the Kyoto Protocol, and they can't go back without losing their face.
If and when Germany meets its emission targets may be a moot point. The restructuring of the country's energy sector is well underway. Analysts call it a no-regrets investment in the nation's economic future. Markus Kurzweil, science coordinator for Germany's environment minister, says already 100,000 jobs have been created and the biggest gains are yet to come.
If we are the first to bring new technologies forward, it's probably us to be the number one in exports.
Germany's environmental exports are growing up to 5 times faster than exports overall. It's already the world's lead supplier of renewable energy products. And one market, just to the east, is all but guaranteed. At a coin mint in Berlin, a machine spits shiny new euro dollars into a sorter. The euro goes into circulation throughout most of Europe next year, and Germans like the sound of the future. Twelve Eastern European nations are in line to join the EU, but to gain entry, they must meet strict environmental standards. And Felix Christian Mathis of the UCO Institute says German technology is standing by.
The only chance for prosperity in Germany is export, because the future of German industry is not steel and not coal and not cement. It's high technology, because in the information technology, there's a large gap to the Americans, for example, and the only chance is to get any new markets, it's the energy efficiency market and the environmental market.
The success of the German gamble depends on what happens here at the global warming talks in Bonn. Germany is pushing hard for the Kyoto Accord. The more nations that ratify the treaty, the more nations will need the technology to implement its emissions reductions. And Germany is poised to supply them and fulfill its climate change mission to do well by doing good. For Living on Earth, I'm Chris Ballman.
From the climate change talks in Bonn, Germany, you're listening to NPR's Living on Earth.